The world of construction is transforming before our eyes. How we design, plan, quantify, and build is changing day to day. But it's never been so easy to connect, share, and bring people together. Our industry is reshaping. So how do we develop relationships? How do we overcome our fears? How do we generate business? And how do we ultimately become the best version of ourselves?
This is Made to Measure. I'm Mick Donaghy. My guest today is...
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Made to Measure. This is Mick Donaghy, and this is the Career Clinic. So today we're going to talk about one of my favorite topics, and that is winning the job interview. I've written down nearly 1,000 words with regards to this particular topic, but I'm going to go a little bit off script, as I might sound a little bit like a robot if I'm just reading off a page. So this is one of my favorite topics because when I get someone an interview, I do absolutely everything I can to make sure that they get the job or at least get offered the job. The more that I can help, the more I think that someone's going to have a positive outcome, put it that way. I've helped hundreds, if not thousands of people get jobs, and that's across the world in Ireland, the UK, New Zealand, and obviously now Australia. And I break it down into a few different categories. It's unprecedented unemployment right now, and the competition is huge. It's projected that Australia will have 13% unemployment by the end of the year. That's nearly 3 million people out of work. And the construction industry is a massive part of that. I believe the UK is in the worst recession since records began, which is pretty grim. I think I heard last week somewhere that during the GFC, during the recession, that economy contracted by 8% or something like that. And it's contracted by nearly 20 to 25% in the UK. So right now, across the globe, unemployment is rife. And even if we do get a vaccination or whatever, you're still going to be competing against a talent pool that wasn't there previously. So it's extremely important that if you get an interview, that you do everything in your power to make sure you land the job. You bet your bottom dollar you're going to be competing against 3 or 4 times the amount of candidates that were previously on the market. So even if you're in a really talent short market, something like quantity surveying or estimating, cost planning, or something along those lines, you're still going to be competing against 3 times the amount of candidates that were on the market previously. So we've got 5 things we're going to talk about here today that I've summarized. And these are the things that I usually will talk about when I'm preparing a candidate for interview. They're even more important now for candidates out there. So I'm going to obviously try and not ramble too much. I know I can talk. I'm an Irishman and I'm a recruiter, so I can talk a lot of BS, as people would say. But the first thing we're going to talk about today is your mindset. So your mindset is super, super important. I've only had a few interviews in my life, but I've helped hundreds upon hundreds, if not thousands of people land jobs. And they're not just jobs, they're careers, and it's the next step within their career, and it's for more money or more responsibility or a better work-life balance, or usually it's something that's positive. And that's one of the things I love about recruitment, is that I'm helping people in a positive way. And now, the days right now during COVID, if you get the opportunity of an interview, you have to do everything that you can to make sure that you get that offer, because it might be a few more months before you get another interview. So the first thing we talk about is mindset. When I have previously had an interview, I remember, well, I'll take you back, I'll tell you the story. So when I got my first interview for recruitment, I had absolutely no idea what recruitment was. And okay, I understand that recruitment is a lot different from, you know, applying for a senior commercial management role or, you know, a directorship position or anything like that. But ultimately, at the time, it was a big move for me. It was a big step for me. So I was 19 or 20, and it was seemed like a cool job. It seemed like a job where I would wear a suit every day. It seemed like a job where I could make money and be successful and be like one of the guys on suits. And so I was like, yeah, this sounds awesome. So I applied for this job in recruitment, and I had no sales experience at all. So I'd worked in Asda, which is a supermarket, and that was about as much experience that I had in sales. I knew that I'd be facing some competition. So I basically give myself the responsibility to do more than what they would do to make sure that I looked like the best candidate. So what I'd done was, the night before my interview, I sat up until maybe 2 o'clock in the morning, and I developed a presentation on why I'm the best candidate for the role. And I remember there was probably about 15 pages in this. So it described what recruitment is. It described why I'd be a good fit for recruitment. It described all my personality traits, what my network would be like after a period of 3 months. It basically went into extreme detail on why I'm better than every single person that they would be interviewing that day or that week. I had no experience. I had no sales experience. I had nothing. I was literally a clean shaven, I was just a kid, you know? So I basically give myself that responsibility, do something. I had to do something to stand out. But I give myself the mindset that I was going to over-prepare, overwork the competition. At the very minimum, I would look like I'm a seriously organized person, but I really want the job. And I wasn't leaving anything on the table. I was leaving nothing to chance. And if you work in recruitment, you'll know that the less chance there is and the more that you can control, the more likely that you'll make that placement. So that day I went in, smashed it, and got offered the job, I think, the next day. And then nearly 10 years later, I'm still in recruitment. But I use that story as my mindset at the time was, I am not letting anybody else get this job. This is my job. I have to get this. It was like people will say this, the gun to the head mentality. It was kind of like the gun to the head mentality. It was like, someone's got a gun to your head. Are you going to go and get this job or not? You will do absolutely everything that you can to get the job. So it was that mindset that I had at the time, really, I suppose, won over my future employers. They seen that I was prepared to put in the work, to put in effort during my own time to get the job, to win the job. That's what you're doing. You're winning work. You're not applying for a job and just hoping and waiting and seeing. You can't do that. You've got to have the mindset that you're going to do absolutely everything to win that job. It's uncomfortable. It's not always nice, but you've got to do it. And so that's the first thing that I would suggest, working on your mindset. Think of an athlete. You know, if they are preparing for a competition, they're not going to go and eat KFC and watch Netflix all day. You know, they're preparing, training 2-3 times a day. Their diet is clean. They're getting loads of sleep. And that's exactly the same with winning your next role. You've got to literally give yourself structure, got to give yourself routine, and you've got to have the mindset of a champion. And I know that sounds so corny, I'm even a little bit cringed out saying it, but you've got to have a mindset that you're going to win this job and no one is going to come close to you. So that's the first one, mindset. Second is over-prepare. So like I mentioned in the first point, what are you going to do to stand out from the crowd? So like I said, my first job in recruitment, I created a presentation. And I'm not saying that you have to go in and create a presentation, because that might be, you might be at a senior point in your career or you don't feel the need to do that. But I would certainly over-prepare myself in other aspects. Like, what do you know about the company? It's usually one of the things companies are going to ask you. And some people will just wing it. you know, they'll probably have a little look on Google or have a little look on the website. But for me, that's not really enough. You've got to literally know everything that they're doing right now. So I'd be scouring through every single one of their social media posts for the last 6 months. I'd have a blank page in front of me and I'm sort of, I'll be going, right, they've done that project, they've done that project, they've done this project. Be writing down every project that I can see. I'd be looking at what tenders they're on at the moment. I'd be looking at who is currently in their quantity surveying department or their estimating department. I'd know every single one of them. I'd send a connection request on LinkedIn to those guys or girls, and I'd be saying, I'm keen to connect. I've got an interview next week with the business. Let me know if you've got any pointers on what I should maybe talk about during the interview. I'd be thinking about absolutely everything. I'd be looking into previous projects that they've worked on, what clients they've been working with, what architects they've been working with. I'd be reaching out to those architects and building a network. I would be over-prepared because I would have so much information in front of me to talk about during the interview that you're leaving, again, nothing to chance. So if you think about it, if you know the architects that this company works with, the consultants, the clients, you know, you've spoken to one or two of the people working within that particular department, you know previous projects that have worked on, you know what projects that they're going to be working on in the future, all of this. And if you're name dropping that into an interview, you look so much more ready for that job than someone who's coming in and going, well, yeah, the company was established in 1992 and they've got 400 people. That doesn't make a difference at all. They want to know the exact detail. And if you look like an encyclopedia of knowledge for that particular company, you're going to go so much further than the individual who's had a look at the company website in Uber half an hour before the interview. So you've got to over-prepare and over-deliver. If you want to develop a presentation, then do that. If you can think of something else that's a little bit more specific to your sector, you know, if there's people out there who may work in IT or might work in another area within the construction sector, and you can think of certain things that could be beneficial or could be interesting for an interviewer, then do it. Put yourself in the interviewer's position. What do they want to see? They want to see hunger, desire, experience, education, credentials, knowing you're the right person, and for you to be low risk at a good price. And if you can hit all those marks, or at least 70-80% of them, then you're going to be in an extremely good position. So over-prepare, over-deliver. That's number two. Number three, just touched on that, utilize social media. So social media is so powerful. It's unbelievable. Where we are right now compared to 10, 15 years ago in terms of employment, in terms of interviewing, is insane. You have so much knowledge that you can go and get that all you have to do is sit on your phone or on your laptop and just go through specific searches, and you can gain so much information, so much knowledge that you can utilize to your advantage. So say, for example, you're applying for a cost manager role at XYZ company and you're interviewing for the infrastructure sector. I would reach out to the infrastructure manager on LinkedIn. I would essentially send them a message and say, listen, I'm sorry for the out of the blue connection request. I've got an interview with you next week. Would it be too much to ask to have a quick 2-minute call just to introduce myself beforehand and just maybe have a chat to you about what you'd be looking for in front of, in the interview, just so I'm not wasting your time? And I would be highly, highly doubtful if they would come back and say no. If they do come back and say no, fair enough, but you're still going to meet them next week anyway, and you have something to talk about, there's the icebreaker straight away. The worst thing that they can possibly think is, oh, this person's a bit keen, aren't they? You know, but I'm telling you what, if employers want you to be king, they don't want someone who's coming in as cool as ice. I don't really care too much about this job. They want someone who is eager, has hunger, has drive, has fire in the belly and wants to make sure that they are doing the best job that they can for you. So think about that. Second of all, what I'm going to try and say from this is the flip side of that is that if you do get on the call with them, that's amazing. You know, you are having a pre-interview to the interview. You've got an ability to create rapport beforehand. You've got an ability to find out what they're looking for and then come up and curate content in your head. You can think about the information that you need to talk about during the interview purely because you've sent the connection request on LinkedIn and just asked a cheeky question. Come on, get on the phone with me for 2 minutes. Is now a bad time? Or whatever it might be. They might say yes. And if you get rejected, so what? At least they know that you're keen. Social media is so powerful. On the other side of that, I'd literally jump on to, you're interviewing with John Smith or Susan Smith next week. You best believe I'm going on their Instagram, on their Pinterest, on their Facebook. I'm going on absolutely everything to find out everything about them. I want to know how many kids they have. I want to know exactly what they get up to on the weekend. You know, if you like fishing, you guarantee I am talking about the deadliest catch during that interview. I am serious. You've got to do everything you can to build a commonality with your interviewer, to build rapport with your interviewer. And if they know that you have done the research, it's never a bad thing. The more that you know that you're lead, again, and going back to that, you're not leaving it on the table. You're not leaving it up to chance, up to the gods. You're controlling it. So do your research. Find out everything that you can about them. If they like a specific TV show, they like Game of Thrones, and they ask you, oh, what are you interested in? Oh, even if you're not, I'd still be saying, I've just started watching Game of Thrones. And you go, oh, great. Because guess what? He's going to fit the culture. She's going to fit the culture because he's reporting to me. And you know what? I love Game of Thrones. Or you know what? I love fishing. Who cares if it's not your favorite thing in the world? You've got to do everything you can to make sure you're giving yourself the competitive advantage over the other person who has interviewed and interviewed really well. But you know what? Doesn't like Game of Thrones and doesn't like fishing. You do. And now you're way more likely to get the job. And it sounds so stupid, but rapport and having something to talk about every day and culture means everything to a business. So utilize social media to gain knowledge that you can use to your advantage during the interview. Number four, have pre-qualified references. This sounds so stupid, but so many people out there don't have references before they go into an interview. Now, what you're doing there is, if you're interviewing for a company, let's go back to XYZ, go back to the cost manager role. You interview for this business and you have a really good interview and you nail it. Fantastic. And they ask you for references and you go, oh, yeah, you know what? I'll get on to that for you. And yeah, I'll send you some references through. Fine. But time kills deals and momentum kills deals. And it could be 2 or 3 days before you get your former employer on the phone and ask basically, can you give me a reference? And by that time, they maybe have met the best candidate in the entire world who watches Game of Thrones, who loves The Deadliest Catch, who had 2 or 3 references in front of them, and you didn't. So you are just essentially leaving your dinner on the table yet again. You can't do that. Now, one thing I would suggest everyone does out there right now is if you've been furloughed or made redundant or whatever it might be, and you know that you've done a good job for that particular company, I would ask your hiring manager to provide you a reference. Now, what most people do is they'll quit or you finish up on a Friday and you'll maybe say, John, Susan, can you give me a reference? And they go, yeah, don't worry, I'll get you a reference. And a reference doesn't come through for 4 to 6 weeks, or they send a reference through and it's bland. It's 2 paragraphs long. Yes, Michael worked here between 2012 and 2013 and his responsibilities were, and yep, that no good, right? So what I would do, I would call a meeting with your hiring manager. If you know that you're finishing up on a Friday, I would call a meeting for Wednesday morning for 5 to 10 minutes and just say, listen, I'm finishing up. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I've really loved working for this company. Make sure you keep me in mind for anything that comes up in the future. In order for me to secure further employment, is it okay if I ask you 4 or 5 questions that I can put down a reference right now? And I guarantee you, 99.9% of people will say yes, and that 0.01% of people are usually just deranged and don't worry about them anyway. But most people will say yes, right? So have 5 or 6 questions that you want to ask them. Like, what was it like working with Michael? You know what? Great candidate, brilliant guy. They're not going to tell you bad things in front of you. And that's another thing. And write this stuff down. Don't just think about it. Write it down. Have the 5 or 6 questions that you want to talk about and write that down, okay? And in front of them, get them to sign it, right? Because there's your 2 references from hiring manager A, hiring manager B, and colleague C, right? None of them are going to give you bad references in front of you. Now, as I said, the 0.01% might say, I'd rather not. But if you know that you've done a good job, they will give you a good reference. So get the reference written down. And then when you're at the interview, present the references at interview. Because then again, you're just bolstering your chances. By the way, I'm Mick, I'm Michael. I've smashed this interview. I've won this job. I am better in the competition because I've over-prepared. I love the Deadliest Catch and I love Game of Thrones. Can't wait to go fishing during summertime. And by the way, here's 3 references from a colleague, a client, and previous hiring manager. There you go. You know, that's in no way a bad thing. And it's just presenting further evidence that you're seriously organized, that you care about this opportunity, that you've done so much research about the business. You know exactly who they are, what they're doing. You've had a pre-qualified interview before the interview, built rapport. You know everything that's going on within the company. You're in a really, really good fit for the role. And 3 other people have backed you up and said the exact same thing. So that is so powerful. You don't understand. Have pre-qualified references. Number 4, don't look past it. I believe this is number 4. So that was number 3. So apologies. Told you I was going to wing it. Okay. Number 4, visualize the perfect interview. It's, you know, visualization is one of those things at the moment that everyone talks about, from Tony Robbins to Gary Vaynerchuk. Visualize, visualize, visualize. You know, I think Michael Jordan said he had a vision that he hit that winning shot, the final day of his NBA career, and he did. And there is something powerful about visualization. And I am not a scientist and I don't know the exact ins and outs of it, but when you think about the detail of exactly what you're going to do, there's a good chance that it actually happens. And if it doesn't happen, then you haven't lost out on anything. But visualize the perfect interview. I mean, the night before, sit down for 20 minutes on your bed, close your eyes and think about everything from parking your car in the parking lot, opening the door, introducing yourself at reception, sitting down, looking at the magazines, right through to shaking hands or fist bumping or elbow pumping or whatever it might be, to introducing yourself to the other hiring managers, to talking about who you are, what you do, why you're the right candidate, why you're better than everyone else, what research you've done about the company, what you know, what projects you've delivered, what the commonalities are between you and the business, right through to talking about what you're interested in, what they're interested in. Visualize absolutely everything. Now, 20 minutes might not be enough. Could be 30 minutes, could be 40 minutes, whatever it might be, but even visualize the length of the interview. I would always suggest that anything over 40 minutes has probably been a decent interview. Anything less than 30 has been a disaster most of the time. not always, and depends on the type of role that you're applying for, but the less time you're in interview, the less interest that they have. But the more time you're in interview, the more interest that they have, because they're essentially digging into their own day. So think about everything, this tiniest detail, right through to you sharing jokes at the end, shaking their hand and asking them, you know, when will you be in touch? You know, absolutely everything. And I think if you do that, you're just more likely to carry out a lot of the things that you thought about, because you've been there before, you've been there in your head. So make sure that you visualize the perfect interview. That's number four. Number five, and this is a pretty big one, is ask questions. The amount of people that don't ask any questions is crazy. You know, if you got any questions, no. If you got questions, Michael, Donnie, yes, I friggin' do. I've got so many questions that you're going to be here all day. So make sure that you get yourself an extra coffee, an extra cup of tea, put the kettle on, let's go, because I'm going to be nailing you with questions, sir, or madam. The reason why you should ask questions is because curiosity is a wonderful thing. The more questions that you ask, the more interest that you have about the business. And there's certain things that you can glean from asking those questions, like what are your main challenges at the minute? And they might tell you something that you didn't know about, that you didn't touch upon during the interview. And so it gives you an opportunity to talk about that. Why are you hiring for this role? That could tell you that the previous person who was in the role didn't work because of this reason. So then it gives you another opportunity to reaffirm why you're a really strong candidate and why you actually can bring other aspects to the company that they maybe didn't know throughout the interview. So asking questions is super, super important. And asking questions, I don't think not right in this current situation, you should be interviewing the interviewer, which I would have suggested that you should do previous to COVID. But right now, if you're really hitting the interviewer hard with pretty deep questions, it might be a little bit frustrating for them. So I would keep them quite on the surface at this stage. And maybe if there's a second interview, I would go into a little bit more detail. But right now, I'd be asking questions that you can maybe just extract a little bit more information from them, so that you can really put that cherry on top of the cake and to really show that you're the best candidate for them. So just finding out where they're at and what they're struggling with and what they need from this next person coming into the business, and really just hit that home on why you're the best. The next thing I would say within those asking questions is find out who and what the competition is. It's extremely unlikely they're going to tell you who they're interviewing, as that would be essentially breaking all confidentiality laws, but they could basically hint upon there's someone that we're talking to right now who has recently worked on a particular project. And if you are in the industry and have done your due diligence, there's a good chance that you might know who that particular candidate is. And there's a good chance that you can maybe go, well, they've only been in the industry for 4 or 5 years. I've actually got 10 years experience and I've worked on 4 or 5 more projects than they have. So really asking questions can lead to so much more than just, I suppose, idle conversation. So ask questions, try and find out who the competition is and try and show why you're better than the competition. And then towards the end, ask them, how did you think I've done? It's a question that most people don't ask, but you really put them on the back foot when you ask that question. And it's pretty interesting to see many of people's response. How do you think I've done during this interview? And usually they'll say, yeah, pretty well. And something that you can maybe say, you know, in response to that is, I'm sorry, but what can I discuss or tell you to go from a pretty well to a fantastic? You know, and they might say, well, I didn't get enough information from you on this particular topic. You go, okay, let me stop you there. This is exactly what I've done in that particular aspect. I've got 7 years in this particular area or whatever it might be, but find out that information, put them on the back foot a little bit, you know, get them to tell you how you've done. And if they say you've done super well and we're going to offer you the role, fantastic. But if they give you any sort of hint that there's something maybe lacking, find out what it is and reaffirm why they don't need to worry about that, because you actually do have that experience, but you just maybe have forgot to talk about it during the interview. And the reality of it is that you'll forget to talk about plenty of things during the interview, but this can give you that chance to really reflect upon that and reaffirm why they don't need to worry and why you're the best candidate, blah, blah, blah. So that was the fifth point. Ask questions. Okay, so we'll talk about, we'll go run through that once more. So the five aspects to winning the job. Number one, mindset. Working on your mindset, super, super important. The more that you work on that, the more likely you will to succeed. Number two, over-prepare, over-deliver. Don't leave anything on the table. Don't leave anything to chance. Go for it. Make sure that you get the job. Number three, utilize social media. It's a powerful tool. If you can get that hiring manager on the phone, if you can find out what they do on the weekends or how many kids they have, and you can utilize that during the interview, you're going to be in a very good position. Number four, have pre-qualified references. The power in good references is extremely beneficial. And if you have two or three references that you can give them on the day, even better. Number five, okay, I've mixed this up. So there's actually six in this. Sorry. So this is called Made to Measure and I can't count. So there we go. Number five, visualize the perfect interview. But don't need to talk about that anymore. Visualize it. Number six, ask questions. Okay. So the more that you can glean, the more information that you can extract, the more that you can advise and indicate on why you're the best candidate. So to do that again, the six things that you can do to nail the interview. Number one, mindset. Number two, over-prepare, over-deliver. Number three, utilize social media. Number four, have pre-qualified references. Number five, visualize the perfect interview. And number six, ask questions. So thank you for bearing with me through that. That was a little bit embarrassing. But as I said, I just wanted to make this a little bit more off the cuff and a little bit more natural. Really interested to see what you think about this. I'd really appreciate if you could provide, maybe write me a reference or share it with a friend or throw this up on LinkedIn or Instagram or Facebook, anywhere on social media. This is completely independent. This is completely me swinging left and right hooks and trying to make something happen. So I appreciate every single person out there listening to this. This is Made to Measure and this has been the Career Clinic. Have a great week, guys. Cheers. Thank you so much for listening to Made to Measure. I really hope you enjoyed the podcast. This is the only podcast in the world that focuses on the niche area of construction costing. Therefore, as an independent podcast, your support is invaluable. Please like, share, screenshot, give a review, or just tell your friends and colleagues about the show. The more people that know about the podcast, the better the guests that we can bring to you, and the better the content you will consume. Thank you for joining me. I'm Mick Donaghy, and this was Made to Measure.